This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
Recently, the Reserve Bank of India's Deputy Governor, T. Ravi Shankar, made an interesting point saying that the RBI is working towards a central bank digital currency, also called CBDC.
As they say, every idea will have to wait for its time. Perhaps the idea for CBDCs is near.
Now, CBDC is a form of virtual currency that will be issued by the RBI. Interestingly, this step mirrors the thinking of central banks around the globe who are not comfortable with the rise of cryptocurrencies and would definitely prefer consumers using a more stable, regulated alternative than a volatile, privately held crypto asset like a Bitcoin. So how long will it be before we start using a CBDC instead of cash? Also, are the crypto firms spooked with RBI's very own digital currency? I'm Devina Sengupta and you are listening to The Morning Brief. To understand more about CBDCs and buzz around them, I will be speaking to a policy expert, the CEO of a crypto exchange and ET's in-house expert, Sugata Ghosh.
CBDC issuance in India obviously will not completely witness the end of banknotes. Printing of currency will still be there.
He has put it in black and white that the very idea of launching a central bank digital currency is to counter crypto.
No, I think, in fact, it's the opposite. It's a welcome announcement. And we've been waiting for RBI to get into CBDC.
But what exactly is a CBDC and how different is it from a cryptocurrency or even an online bank transfer? Here's ET's associate editor Sugata Ghosh explaining that.
Well, online is a very different kettle of fish. Online is a traditional payment system. Instead of paying cash or giving a check, you are making the payment online. But as far as cryptocurrency is concerned, the central bank digital currency is absolutely different from the cryptocurrencies that we see today. It is issued by the central bank, it is backed by the sovereign, and it is just fiat currency in digital form. So it has absolutely no similarity other than the fact that it's a digital currency like crypto. But the essence of it, it's entirely different because crypto is decentralized. This is centralized. Crypto is not backed by any sovereign, and this would be backed by a sovereign. So it's just like the money we have today. It is that money, the fiat money, in digital form.
Sugata, RBI is positioning the central bank digital currency to counter cryptos, right? Now, will such a strategy work?
No, it won't. Today, those who hold or trade in cryptocurrencies do it for a very different purpose. Say 95%, 99% of the people who buy cryptos are hoping that the bull run in crypto would continue. For them, it's like betting on stocks. There is very little difference. The only difference is that crypto is far more complex, far more volatile. The rest of them, the balance 2% or 3% people, they buy or sell cryptos to launder money, to buy drugs, or for activities that aren't really kosher. So none of this can exactly be carried out by the central bank digital currency. So central bank digital currency, it's no match for cryptos. But then RBI has to be seen doing something to support innovation. If you see, the cryptos owe their origin to the distrust and contempt towards central banks, sovereigns, and fiat money. Now, I'm not saying that the central bank digital currency will not serve any purpose. It can have very deep macroeconomic implications, things which we are not in a position to fathom today, or it can permanently change our payment behavior, spending habits over the long term. It can influence or it can quicken the velocity of money, that is the pace at which every rupee changes hands. But then it can never be a replacement for cryptocurrencies that we have today.
So there could be a possibility that both the digital forms of currency might run parallelly. Is that correct then, Sugata?
It is possible as long as RBI allows or the government don't put further restrictions on the restrictions which are already there on crypto trades.
Right. So what kind of timeline are you looking at?
I would say that RBI can maybe in the next 1 year can start a pilot project. But the actual launch of central bank digital currencies and that becoming part of the money supply is a long time away.
Right. So we're giving it at least a few years before we can start using it.
No, easily, easily.
Tell me something. Can't one use a central bank digital currency to directly transfer funds without using banking channels?
Probably, yes. I mean, whatever little information we have today, this should be possible. So suppose you may have a private digital wallet and in that you store the central bank digital currency, just as you hold your cryptos in an electronic wallet on your computer or on the mobile or in a pen drive or with the wallet you have with the exchange, say like WazirX or ZepPay, from where you bought the cryptos. Now, once you have that central bank digital currency, you can directly transfer that digital currency from your wallet to someone else's wallet. Now, that person could be anywhere in the world. Now, theoretically. Now, when you do that, you bypass the entire banking system. So just as it happens in case of cryptos, it should be possible in case of central bank digital currency. But RBI is saying that, look, even if you are allowed to bypass banks, you cannot avoid the central bank.
Right. And this is something which we have also discussed in many episodes before also, that RBI is not comfortable with cryptocurrency.
Well, it has been a sigh of relief, welcome, even cheer for the crypto sector in Indian markets after the RBI notification, which says that the banks and other entities cannot cite April 2018 circular. Well, this was a circular that RBI had put at that point in time, telling banks to suspend all kind of financial activities or services to cryptocurrencies as a sector. The circular suspending banking services to virtual currencies was actually set aside by Supreme Court in March 2020. But since then, the RBI had not come out with another circular supporting this or changing its circular from April 2018.
One thing is clear is that even down the last few years, RBI's views on cryptos haven't changed. They are just not okay with this parallel form of currency. Could you throw some more light on this, Shugata?
RBI has made it abundantly clear, even in the recent speech made by Deputy Governor Ravi Shankar, he has only added to the mystery and suspicion that surrounds crypto. He has put it in black and white that the very idea of launching a central bank digital currency is to counter crypto. I mean, that is the impression one gets when you read that speech of his. Interestingly, this is one area where India is very similar to China, where the People's Bank of China is launching digital currency. That is a central bank digital currency, the Chinese equivalent.
While many countries are exploring a state-backed digital currency, China has gone farther than any major economy.
The digital yuan is issued by the central bank, just like paper notes. It resembles cryptocurrency in that it's computer code and is stored in a digital wallet. But unlike crypto, eCNY is tied to the Chinese government.
China's central bank has also said it plans to gradually replace all cash and coins with the digital yuan.
But then the Chinese government has clamped down on private virtual currencies, that is the cryptocurrencies of today.
Right. And I think it's called eCNY. Shugata, how are regulators in Europe dealing with cryptos and fears that it could be an avenue to launder money?
Even advocates of innovation would admit that there are genuine concerns. I mean, there is no going away from that. In 2019, the world's anti-money laundering task force, that is the FATF, came out with what they called a travel rule. It's a rule that requires exchanges, custodians, wallet providers, everyone to share info so that regulators and law enforcement authorities find out who is sending a crypto to whom. But then it is not a foolproof process. It's a work in progress. And there will always be some leakage where some cryptos will always be hidden in some private wallets which nobody will get to know.
While Shugata succinctly explained how RBI will counter cryptos, privacy concerns of digital currencies and regulatory challenges became key to my discussion with Shehnaz Ahmed. Shehnaz is a senior resident fellow and fintech lead at Vidhi Center for Legal Policy, which is an independent policy think tank. In fact, it was at an event organized by Vidhi Center where RBI Deputy Governor T. Ravi Shankar made the CBDC announcement.
In India, the high-level interministerial committee, constituted in the Ministry of Finance, has examined the policy and legal framework and has recommended the introduction of CBDC as a digital form of fiat money in India.
Thank you, Shehnaz, for being with us on The Morning Brief.
Thank you, Devina, for having me.
Shehnaz, how difficult will it be for RBI to bring in a digital currency? I mean, there are laws out here. For example, there is the IT Act, there is a Coinage Act, and legal changes and amendments have to be brought into these laws. So how difficult will this process be?
Sure. Now, for any central bank, getting the legal foundations right for central bank digital currency issuance is significant to protect itself from legal, financial, and reputational risks. First, I think, is the legal authority of the Reserve Bank of India to issue digital currency. So currently, the Reserve Bank of India Act empowers RBI to issue only banknotes. So the RBI Act has to be amended to empower RBI to issue digital currency. The second issue is the regulation of intermediaries in the CBDC ecosystem. Many central banks are basically exploring a retail central bank digital currency model where central bank provides the core system, but most consumer-facing activities are outsourced to regulated intermediaries from the private sector. So if RBI decides to adopt a similar model, a regulatory framework for such intermediaries will be required. The third is the implication of CBDC issuance on other laws. This includes the data protection laws, information technology law, and prevention of money laundering laws and its applicability to RBI and intermediaries in the CBDC ecosystem.
That's a lot of changes that need to be done. So timeline, can we look at a couple of years?
Definitely. I think most central banks that are even trying to understand CBDC are keep a minimum of 5 years in mind for exploring even the use cases, pilots, and design. So law itself will be the secondary phase of it. So yeah, definitely.
In Europe, the central banks out there for an e-euro, they have given at least a timeline of not before 2025. Shehnaz, you have raised the privacy point earlier. Now, privacy concern is an issue in CBDC, because a similar move has been made in China, right? They call it the ECNY, and about 70 million transactions have been made under their digital currency. But from what I understand, the government does have access to end-to-end encryption. Privacy concern was also raised for the European banks who are trying to bring in digital currency. Can you explain to all of us what does it mean?
Sure. So user privacy is one of the most important considerations for central bank digital currency. Now, in one extreme end, CBDC may be designed to provide access to user and transaction information to the central bank. So in such a case, the design raises concerns about privacy and possible surveillance by the state. Now, on the other hand, some argue that CBDC, like cash, may provide anonymity. So this, in turn, I feel would facilitate large-scale money laundering and illegal financing. So for central banks, CBDC issuance, I think, will always present a trade-off between satisfying privacy concerns and mitigating risks to financial integrity. Now, the central banks of G7 countries in a report correctly notes that full anonymity is not plausible with the CBDC, as CBDC would need to be compliant with anti-money laundering laws. So a key policy question here will be in deciding what data may be stored, who will store the data, who can access what parts of the data, and under what circumstances.
Shehnaz, isn't money laundering and data mapping, the lack of data mapping, exactly the issue that the central banks have with cryptocurrencies?
Yes, that's definitely an issue that is there. And perhaps that is also one of the reasons perhaps why the central banks in different countries are looking at CBDC to kind of evolve or kind of design a system in which both user privacy as well as concerns from a financial regulation perspective can be taken care of.
Who are the banks? China is, for instance, doing it. In Europe, we are seeing banks coming up with CBDC.
Now, the European Central Bank is formally beginning a project to create a digital euro. The plan aims to react to the growing popularity of cryptocurrencies and online payments.
Any other countries or regions that you can help us with?
Yeah, so I think a lot of countries are trying to understand that, including you have the Bank of England, which is studying that. You have Bank of Japan, you have Bank of Thailand, advanced economies in particular, I would say, which have a lot of penetration of digital payments, are definitely looking at privacy as an important issue in their CBDC design.
Shehnaz, tell me something. Will cash in the future become obsolete?
No. I think that's something that I think we all need to remember, that for central bank, digital currency is typically not viewed by central banks as substitute to cash. So most central banks that we have also studied is basically looking at CBDC as a complement to cash, especially for countries like India, where there is still a huge dependency on cash. I do not see this happening as of now. Having said that, there are also advanced economies like Sweden and perhaps certain EU countries which are kind of looking at CBDC because there is a decline in the use of cash.
How expensive is it to print currencies, and how much will it be economically helpful to have digital currencies?
CBDC issuance in India obviously will not completely witness the end of banknotes. Printing of currency will still be there. Having said that, I think what needs to consider is that India's dependency on cash actually imposes a lot of costs on the government and its agency. Now, this is not just restricted to printing of currency costs, but also the prevalence of cash leads to perhaps a sort of informal or shadow economy, which in turn imposes additional costs associated with black money, tax evasion, and counterfeit currency. So CBDC issuance may be an important consideration in this regard. However, this must also be viewed against costs associated with developing and operating CBDC infrastructure. Now, this will also include costs involved in ensuring CBDC systems can interoperate with existing payment solutions. So evidently, I think issuing CBDC is a challenging task, and therefore for RBI, it will require them to kind of undertake a sort of a cost-benefit analysis to evaluate whether the scale of investments in CBDC ecosystem actually justifies the opportunities presented by it for India.
Are crypto firms threatened with RBI's CBDC proposal? Nischal Shetty, the co-founder and CEO of crypto exchange WazirX, had a very interesting response.
No, I think, in fact, it's the opposite. It's a welcome announcement. And we've been waiting for RBI to get into CBDCs, because if you look at the global landscape, a lot of countries have already gotten into it, especially China has been already testing out CBDCs amongst the local population there. So I think in general, it's a great move for the RBI to get into CBDC.
It's interesting because almost all of us thought that this is going to shake up the cryptocurrency world, but then clearly you're okay with competition coming in.
See, the thing is, I think it's because there's a misconception where to the general population, what it seems like is every crypto is a currency and it's here to compete with the INR. But the true understanding of crypto is that it's classified into four major categories, and currency is just one of those categories. And if you look at the crypto ecosystem, currency, while it's a good use case, but there are other use cases like assets and utilities, which is where maximum of the crypto fall into. Like, for example, Bitcoin is an asset class, much like gold rather than a currency like, let's say, the INR. So that's probably the biggest reason why the sector is not really concerned. The good that can come out of this is there would be better regulations, where the RBI would also understand and tweak existing laws to accommodate digital currencies or cryptocurrencies. And that would be positive even for the sector in general, which is why it's seen as a welcome change.
If and when this CBDC proposal gets materialized, it's of course going to take a while. Will it sway the consumers towards digital currency? For instance, would I be more swayed to go for a CBDC, which I know has the backing of the sovereign, than take a bet in the crypto world?
I think both are complementary. So it's not going to be a this or that. It's a this and that. The good thing about CBDC is it will definitely onboard a ton of people. In fact, the entire nation will wake up to the idea of crypto. And that's going to be a significant move. If you look at the ecosystem today, there are maybe 15 to 20 million people in India. That's about 2% of the population, which is probably into crypto today. And I think launching CBDC will just skyrocket this number, because CBDC is more like a digital form of cash itself. As a user, you don't even need a bank account. So imagine that India has about 200, 300 million people who do not have bank accounts today, but they definitely have a mobile phone and internet. And all that, you know, RBI needs to do is just make this accessible to those people, where you will see a massive number of people getting into crypto. So I think CBDCs will act like that catalyst for a large part of India to get onboarded to crypto, understand what it is. And from there, they will then move on to other cryptos like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all the others.
Oh, interesting. So one could be for daily usage and one would be for more future.
Absolutely. And as an investment, as a way to increase your wealth. Eventually.
Nishchal welcoming CBDC is a surprise, but one thing for sure, the customers like you and me will definitely have more options in the near future. Thank you, Nishchal, Shugato, and Shehnaz for decoding RBI CBDC for us. India is galloping in the digital adoptions. Barely had we gotten used to digital pay wallets when crypto excitement hit many of us. In a few years, if and when CBDC becomes a reality, the physical wallet for many of us will become non-existent. I'm Devina Sengupta and you're listening to The Morning Brief. This episode was edited and coordinated by Nehal Chaliawala. I hope you enjoyed listening to the episode. Do send in your feedback to themorningbrief@timesgroup.com and share the episode on your social media networks. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. Thank you for listening and have a nice day ahead. Credits for all external clips used in this episode have been mentioned in the episode description.